chapter 18, pick up in verse 21. And then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But then that same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When the fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their master and all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, you've heard of churches that are made up of little cliques. You know, they've got these little groups in the church, and sometimes they bicker and fight with each other, and they don't get along, and they don't want to work with each other. But, you know, it really gets bad when the pastor and the music minister don't get along. The pastor one time got up and preached, and he was talking about commitment and how we should be dedicated to following God, and the music minister got up and led the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. The next week, the pastor gets up, and he's preaching about giving and how we should give and how we should dig into my pockets or our pockets and give to God and his work, and the music minister got up, and they sang or led in singing, Jesus Paid It All. The next week he gets up and he's beginning to preach and he's talking about your tongue and how you should guard what you talk about and bridle it and be careful about how you say what you say about others. And the music minister got up and led the congregation and I love to tell the story. The next week he got up and he began to share he was being kind of discouraged and discussed it with some things and was thinking about resigning. And so the minister got up and led the congregation, oh, and why not tonight? So, and this went on for a while, and finally he prayed, and he got up this one particular Sunday and says, okay, Jesus was the one that brought me to this church, and Jesus has opened up the door for me to go and to minister somewhere else, so I'm resigning. And so the music minister got up and had the congregation sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. How often are you supposed to forgive someone? When they're creating offense over and over and again, and it creates difficulties for you, how often are you supposed to forgive? Is seven times, is that too many times? Is that enough, or is it we go a little bit further? I mean, Peter understood something, and we know this too. There are going to be things that happen in life with interrelationships that there's going to be an offense. We're going to sin against each other. And we're going to have to offer forgiveness. Quite frankly, a lot of those things happen because of crazy, stupid stuff. You know, some things that just kind of get under our skin. So how often do we forgive? What can we do or what are we supposed to do when those times happen? Now, Peter, as we're reading here, I think Peter thinks he's being a pretty big guy here, being pretty magnanimous. He says, should we forgive him seven times and then that's enough? Because in the Jewish tradition line and what the rabbis were teaching in that day is that you forgave somebody three times and then it was fine. So on that fourth offense, you didn't have to forgive them. You didn't have to do anything. It's that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth type thing. So Peter's thinking, hey, this is pretty big if I'm willing to forgive them seven times. Wouldn't you have loved to see Peter's face? Wouldn't you like to know what ran through Peter's mind and the other disciples' mind when Jesus said, no, it's even 70 times seven? Now, Matthew, he was the mathematician there. He was the tax collector. That's 490 times, Jesus. How do you keep track of all of that? Well, you can't. There's no way of keeping up with that, and that's precisely the point. that Jesus was making. You know, does forgiveness have limits? Are there limits to what we can or how many times we forgive? Paul would write later on, as he's writing a great definition for love in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul writes, and he has this part about love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It never runs out here. Now, here might be kind of a big picture thing that we need to grasp for the day. The grace you share has no limits. The grace that's in us from God that He calls us to share with one another and each other, it has no limits. It never runs out. The story of which we read, this main character, someone said he went through three stages of forgiveness. He was the debtor, he was a creditor, and he was a prisoner. Meaning he was forgiven, he had somebody he needed to forgive, he didn't, and he ended up in prison. And that's what unforgiveness really does, it holds us captive. Now, according to the story that Jesus is telling here, this guy owed 10,000 talents. Now, many believe in that time frame in which Jesus was living, and he's telling the story, that 900 talents was a year's wages. So this guy owed over 10 years of wages to this guy. 10 years. Before taxes. You know, this is a huge sum of money. Now get this too. Now notice it says, he's a servant of a master. So this money that he owes was not his to begin with. In today's vernacular, he embezzled it. He misappropriated it. He was using it for other things than what his master had told him to use it for. He was using it for himself. He was wasting it on his life. He wasn't benefiting the master. He wasn't advancing the master's estate. He was using it for himself. And he gets caught. He begs for his life. His master wants to sell him and his family and all his everything he has just to see if he can come up with a little bit of the money that this guy owes him. Could you imagine? Because his family probably knew none of this. Could you imagine one day you get a knock on the door and it's the police and they take you and your whole family in custody and they're going to sell you. They're going to sell off the house so that you can pay your debts and the family didn't know anything about it. That's pretty extreme. That's how much this guy had. Now, sidebar, here's something that's not necessarily part of this story, even what we're talking about, but it's important and we need to catch it. So this is kind of free stuff. This is extra, all right? Your sin creates a debt more than for yourself. When you sin, it creates a debt more than just for yourself. See, this guy, he sinned. It affected his family, it affected his friends. If he was part of a church, it affected his church. It affected everyone his life touched. See, when we sin, when you and I sin, it doesn't just affect you, and it doesn't just affect one person. It doesn't just affect you as an individual. It affects everyone around you. Now, kind of going back to this. We say that life is a gift of God. But sometimes I wonder, do we really believe this? Now, I understand Jesus is telling a story about money, but the story is really not about money, right? It's about life and how we're living life and how we choose to live life. So what or how are you living the life God has given you? What are you doing with the life that God's given you? When the judgment time comes, when payday has to be made, the day of reckoning happens, what's going to happen with how you've lived your life and the decisions you've made with your life? How responsible have you been with what God has given you? See, we're like this servant. We've created a debt that's too great. We cannot possibly pay it back. He begs and he pleads to have, and he promises, I'll pay it back. This guy knew, the master, there's no way you're ever going to pay this back. Yo, 10 years. There's no way you're going to be able to pay this back. So he forgives it. Our debt is so great with God because of our sin, there's nothing we can do to pay for it. So Jesus comes. Jesus comes and he gives his life, the perfect sinless life. He lives, he dies, and he resurrects to take care of the debt that we owe. That's grace. That's the grace of God. Now notice something else. Peter mentions here, forgiving another brother. That would be a fellow Jew, correct? Now I know we're going to say this applies to us as believers as well, as that we need to treat other believers this way. Well, yes, it applies to that also. However, grace goes beyond just the family. Grace of God goes beyond just whether you're Jewish. Grace goes beyond just whether or not you're a Christian or not. God's grace goes beyond that. I don't know. There somebody here maybe have some Jewish background. But my hunch is that none of us have a Jewish background, so that part of the equation is pushed aside. So now we're only dealing with Christians. But here's the thing. When you owed the debt, you weren't a Christian yet. Jesus demonstrated God's love, God's grace for us, that while we were still sinning, he died for us. We were not a Christian yet. The fact that you believed, the fact that you accepted the forgiveness of God is what made you a Christian. See, God graced you. God graced me when we weren't part of the family, when we weren't even part of the kingdom. See, God's grace has no limits. The grace you share has no limits. Now, what about this other person in the story? His fellow servant. He owes this first servant guy 100 denarii. Now, 1 denarii was supposed to be like a day's wage, so he owed 100 days' wages. No small amount, right? A little over 3 months' wages he owes his friend. But small amount in comparison to years and years and years and years that this other guy owed. But notice the treatment, the difference in the treatment. The servant who was forgiven the great debt does not want to forgive the small amount of debt. He has him arrested, has him thrown into debtor's prison, and he's going to stay there until he pays all the debt. How ruthless, how unforgiving can one person be? Now here's the part about ungratefulness. Okay? Your ungratefulness leads to gracelessness. When you're ungrateful in your life, you won't show God's grace to anyone else because you don't understand it. You don't understand how to do it. So remember this guy, he comes up, he sees him. Here's this guy that owes me money. He goes in and says, he chokes him, he grabs him, he shakes him. I want that money. Turns him upside down, shakes the money out of his pockets. He was ungrateful for the master forgiving him. And therefore, he couldn't show any grace. See, we might say that we've been forgiven. Sometimes I'm not so sure about that, because meaning that we don't understand what forgiveness is when I cannot forgive someone else. Forgiveness means to let alone in a literal sense. It means to let alone, means to set aside. We put the debt aside. We put the debt down. And it means we don't pick it back up again. So, being forgiven, when we understand the forgiveness that we have, being forgiven creates gratefulness in our lives because we understand what we've been forgiven for. We understand the enormity of the debt that we have. That creates gratefulness. Because we are grateful, we're willing to forgive others. Because we know how much God has forgiven us, we're willing to forgive others. See, forgiveness then extends God's grace. It keeps it going. It keeps it moving. It keeps it working. Here's kind of maybe the big thing in my mind in this. If I've been forgiven, if you've been forgiven, and you understand what you've been forgiven from, what right do you or I have to hang someone's head? To hang on to someone else's sin and keep and not forgive them of it. Hang it over their head. What right do we have? If I fully understand my forgiveness, If you fully understand how you've been forgiven, what right do you have to harbor and withhold forgiveness from someone else? Or withhold the grace of God from them? See, in the story, the master, he finds out. Not just one servant went to him. Several servants went to him and told him what was going on or what had happened. So this first servant, he summons again to go into the master's house, and he's interviewed again. And this time it doesn't go as well as it did the first time. Because now he's caught. And he's put in prison probably for the rest of his life because he's got to give an accounting. He's got to pay for everything. Now get this. Now, see how this works out. Your gracelessness, ungratefulness creates a debt. When we are graceless in our life, when we are ungrateful in our life, it creates a debt. But if we're grateful and we show grace, it forgives our debt. Isn't it kind of neat how that works out? I mean, this guy had created a debt that was greater than the money. Because it really wasn't about the money. It was about how he was living his life. It was about the things he made important in his life and things that weren't important in his life. He had created a debt of heart and life. And that's something he couldn't pay himself. That we can't pay ourselves. I mean, what do you think about the words from Jesus in verse 35? So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Whew. Can you command somebody to forgive from the heart? A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, is that you love one another. Now, in the New Testament era, heart was more than just emotion, right? Heart had to do with the center of the will. It was an act. Had some emotion, but it wasn't all about emotion. It's about how we act. It's how you're living. When Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, when it came to the part about forgiveness, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. That word as, two letters, small, we run over it. That's a big word. Forgive my debts just as I'm willing to forgive those who are in debt to me. Forgive my sins just as well as I'm willing to forgive somebody else of their sins. That's what we find in the New Testament. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Ooh. Ouch. You mean there's no forgiveness if I can't be forgiven? I can't have forgiveness if I'm unwilling to forgive. No, really? See, when you don't forgive, your repentance is incomplete. It's incomplete. It's not finished. I like what one commentator said. He said, in other words, it's not enough to receive God's forgiveness or even the forgiveness of others. We must experience that forgiveness in our hearts so that it humbles us and makes us gentle and forgiving toward others. The servant in the parable, he did not have a deep experience of forgiveness and humility. He simply was glad he got off the hook. He never really repented. Unrepentance means unforgiveness. Unrepentance, no repentance, means no forgiveness. Here, the kind of the summation thing here. Your gratefulness is seen in how you show grace. I mean, if we read through this, I mean, it's about how we're living. Your gratefulness is seen in how you show gratefulness or show grace to others. Again, it's Thanksgiving. We're thinking about how thankful we are and how God has blessed us. You want to take that thankfulness to a whole new level? Want to give it a whole new meaning? Put some grace with it to someone else. Then you'll understand, and God will see. Others around you will see that you really, truly know what it means to be thankful. You truly understand what it means to be grateful because you're extending grace to someone else. This guy couldn't do it. He got locked away in a prison. Don't get locked away in the prison. Understand the grace that God's given you that compels you to share that grace with others. And I want to invite you to do something today. Really, two or three things. First is, make sure you've truly accepted the forgiveness of God. That you've accepted God's forgiveness through His Son Jesus, His life, His death, and His resurrection. And commit it to living a life in His grace. And then you'll reap a grateful heart and extend grace to others. It really does work that way. So, how thankful are you today? How thankful are you? How grateful are you today? Your gratefulness is shown in how you extend grace. Let's pray together. As we pray, have you accepted, really accepted, forgiveness from God that it's truly, completely changed you? So much so that it's touched so deep within you, and you're so grateful for what's taking place that grace just comes from your life. Again, today I invite you to accept that forgiveness from God. It does that work. I invite you to make that commitment that God's asking you to commit to be a person of grace, whoever you come in contact with, because it has no limits. The limits of who it's to be showed to has no limits of how often you share it. But then I also invite you to reap the benefits of a grateful heart. And a life that's full of grace. God, we thank you for loving us. God, I even thank you from time to time for the difficult lessons you want to teach us. God, sometimes we get smug, like Peter probably was here, thinking we're doing really good and we're advancing along. But then you push us a little deeper into life. God, push us that little deeper into life. Because, God, that's where we live side by side with you. God, I pray again first, help us to understand truly the indebtedness that you've forgiven us through Christ. God, that it might break our hearts to be so grateful that that your grace just overflows from us. Again, because of your love for Jesus to us. God, I pray those that need to make new commitments, need to follow you. God, need to be touched by your grace in a new way today. God, I pray that it happens. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. How you need to follow God. What you need to surrender Him. How you need to be thankful to Him. Follow Him today. as we pray together. Tell God of your gratitude for His love for you. Allow Him to bring someone to your mind that you need to share that grace with today or this week. God, again, we thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the blessing of life and eternal life. But God, we also thank You for the day-to-day experience of walking with You through the power of Your Spirit. God, as we continue to go through a time of commitment, we're getting ready to commit tithes and offerings. God, let it not just be a mindless thing. But let it be a thing of showing of our gratefulness so that we can extend the grace through ministries and works to others in our community and other places. So God, bless us while we give, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated while we give. Good day. All right, amen. All right. Renee and I are going to scoot out here in just a minute. Mixon, don't run off. Oh, you all got something to go. I'll get somebody else then. Oh, sorry, I forgot you. I'm going to get David to come up then and close us in prayer. Renee and I are going to go ahead and scoot out next door so we can kind of greet everybody as they're coming in, and then we'll say a blessing while we're over there. Either I or Pastor James will say the blessing while before we eat. Today. So we're going to scoot out. I'm going to let David pray us out of here, and we'll see you in just a little while.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together as we pray. Father God, we thank You for this day, God, and Your goodness to us, and we're so undeserving, God, but we thank You that You've extended that grace to us like we heard about today. So many times, God, in our lives at salvation, and so many times afterwards, God. So go with us now, bless us, allow us to extend that grace and forgiveness to others as we come in contact with them as well. Bless Your people, bless this church, and bless our time of fellowship together. And we'll give You all the honor and glory and praise for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.